Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Welcome to Church Online. Thank you so much for commenting. Please do comment, say hello, let me know you can hear me okay. It's good to see you all. You may have noticed Amy isn't here. She is recovering from the late night last night doing the quiz. I'm not wearing the bow tie this morning. Thought I wouldn't wear it. But yeah, thank you so much for everyone that joined last night. It was really good fun. It was really good time. So we will continue. I'm going to start this morning reading a verse from 2 Corinthians. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. So why don't I pray for us as we start? Lord, we just invite you in this morning, as we can't meet all at once in the same place, Lord. We just invite you in as our separate homes, as we take a few moments to focus on you, focus on your word, and that you the life that you give us at this time, Lord. So be with us, I pray. Amen. Okay, so just a few notices to share with you. Firstly, well done to the Nicholases and the Grahams winning the quiz last night. It was a close run thing, but we had a great time. I think we had about 45 people on with about 10 teams, and it was just really fun. We had loads of fun, so we hope you did too. And maybe we'll do it again. Who knows? There'll be a coffee hangout afterwards again. Today, and Andy and Stina are going to host that. So at the end of our time together, I will share the graphic with the login details. They've slightly changed from last week. So yeah, do join us for that. It's been really good to connect, have a chat and a coffee with a few people, and yeah, connect over Zoom in that way. So do join us for that. Our weekly prayer meeting started last week. I joined the 9 o'clock on Monday one, and it was really good. It was really encouraging. It was really good to connect with people and pray into individual situations and also the wider situation in this town. So there's two. There's one Monday at 9 p.m. and Thursday at 1 p.m. The information is in the newsletter on the Facebook. Bill hosts Monday at 9 and Rob hosts Thursday at 1, and it's really just good to pray during the week, so I'd really encourage you to join one of those if you can. They're just half an hour on, like I said, Monday and Thursday. So coming up on the 31st of May, I'm just going to share the slide with you, is the Haverhill Day of Prayer, where we're joining with churches across Haverhill for half day of prayer to pray for our town, pray for the country, and connect with each other to pray over all these different things. There's also a suggested sort of order and schedule you can use. Our hour is at 11 p.m. Thanks, Paul, for fitting us in for that one. But if 11 p.m. doesn't really suit you, then don't worry, pray during the day and just take it as a day of prayer. And I think it's really encouraging to know that across Haverhill, other Christians are praying for this town and further afield. So do join for that. Lastly, in the newsletter this week, it went out that Wildfires Festival, which is sort of similar to New Wine, Spring Harvest, are doing their festival online, like many others at the moment. And so if you would like to just sort of tap into that, there's stuff for kids, for adults, for youth, do that. And as I just mentioned, the youth will also meet on Zoom after this service. Thanks, Paul. The youth will meet after this service as well in the Zoom Hangout. If you would like to get involved with that, please do message Claire or Jack, or message admin at rolk.org.uk, or message us on Facebook, and we'll get you hooked up to that. I understand it's been a really good, encouraging time, and I certainly have thought, oh, it's great that the youth are doing this as alongside us as well. Okay, good. So today, Paul is going to carry on with our series on Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, looking at the apostles' teaching and really just looking at how we can thrive during this time. So I'm going to hand over to Paul.
Hi, good morning. Great to be able to share with you again this morning. Hope you're all doing okay and everything's fine with yourselves, I trust. Let's just read some scripture together, shall we, and get straight into the things that we're going to talk about. So I'm just going to do a share screen. Hope that's okay with you. And away we go. So Acts 2, 42 to 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together on everything and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I don't know about you, but I love this portion of scripture. And it captures something, doesn't it, of the life of the early church. This was the church that was just emerging. After the day of Pentecost and after the life of Jesus and Jesus going back to heaven, this was a snapshot of the church that was emerging and that was going to transform the world. I don't think it was a be-all for end-all, sort of like these are the principles that every church, that all the principles that we have to have church, because they're going to be others that emerge as we read through the New Testament. But certainly we get a snapshot of what is going to generate momentum in a church. I mean, what do you dream of when you think about church? What do you dream of when you think about, what can church be? I've heard people say things like how are we going to get back to church, or how are we going to start church again? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not sure that church actually has stopped. It's just taken a different shape. It's a different shape at the moment. And for me, I think that church is purposely designed by God, not around places, but around principles. Yeah. It's not about built around the way that we have to do things in a particular meeting, but it's around principles and around people and around relationships. And I think when we see this, this little passage of scripture, we just thought it'd be good to perhaps just dig into it a little bit over these few weeks whilst we're in lockdown, to just say to ourselves, what is it that we can capture that the early church was living that will help us to thrive and not survive as a church in this season? I want to see people grow in their faith, don't you? I want to be one who grows in my faith during this season. I want to help people discover Jesus during this season. I want us to be able to be part of the answer, part of the solution to people's difficulties during this season, with the love of God in our hearts and to enable them to meet Jesus in this. So let's just have a little dig into this. I mean, we don't have the time to sort of go into it deeply in this Sunday morning, and I'm wondering whether I should do some other sessions and just record them and post them on Facebook, on the website or something. But okay, we'll think about another time. So this starts with this little snapshot of the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, what does that mean? What is that all about? It doesn't say they devoted themselves to the study of scripture, which I'm sure they did. What is that all about? Well, again, you know, let's have another little screen share, shall we? And Matthew 28, Jesus, just before he's about to ascend back to heaven, he says that he came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So you must go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end." See, the apostles' mandate, what they were told to do by Jesus, was to teach others to obey everything that Jesus had commanded them. The apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine, as some scriptures, some translations say, had to be what Jesus taught, didn't it? It had to be the way that Jesus interpreted the scriptures. And, you know, that, what does that mean, really, I guess? Let me just, again, I'm going rich on the old screen sharing this morning, I appreciate. But let me just share with you a little diagram that maybe just, we don't have time to unpack this, but can help us to get into this. See, I think that it was four areas, perhaps, that they would have been sharing, the apostles. One would have had to do with Jesus's message. What was he fundamentally calling people to do? It says in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, therefore, and believe the good news." Jesus' message was one that said, there is a better kingdom. There is a kingdom of God that you can have. You know, they would have been looking around at the world around them and thinking, well, this leaves us empty. And Jesus is saying there is an alternative way of living. But you're going to need to change to engage that. You need to repent. And you're going to need to, in your changing, you're going to need to believe in what I've done for you. The message fundamentally is that we need to believe in what Jesus has done for us. And we need to change direction in life and engage with this new kingdom that he is offering us. This kingdom of God that runs on very different principles. And Jesus spent a lot of time unpacking what the kingdom of heaven is like. He said, you know, this is what it looks like. This is what it is. He didn't give them a clear, definitive, this is it. He said, this you might recognize the kingdom because it looks a bit like this, you know. And then the Jesus lifestyle, they would have taught, you know, Jesus, how Jesus lived. And you know, Sermon on the Mount is the classic challenge in that one, isn't it? They would have taught about how Jesus interpreted the Old Testament. My word, that would have been transformational for them. You know, Jesus claimed that the Old Testament scriptures were about him. And he claimed that he fulfilled the law. In other words, he brought it to completion. Again, transformational language, and would have been difficult. And then, you know, Jesus gave one particular specific commandment. He said a new commandment. In other words, he was making himself a lawgiver. That was transformational as well, you know. And he said, you know, you must love one another as I have loved you. And we see that that is in the New Testament narrative. John in particular picks that up in his epistle, in his letters later on, you know, that this love that we, you know, we can't truly love God if we don't love one another. And that is right through their message. Now, I could spend a long time unpacking these thoughts here and have a lot of material on this stuff. But how do we engage with that in our lockdown state and in our, what are we going to be devoted to? See, how do we discover the apostles' teaching? For us these days, we discover it by reading the scriptures, don't we? Both the Old Testament and the New Testament, by getting to grips with the Bible and reading it, and then making sure that we interpret it through the lens of Jesus, because that's what the apostles were doing. They were interpreting, their scriptures for them was the Old Testament. And of course, they were interpreting that through the lens of Jesus, that Jesus gave them, the teaching that Jesus gave. And so let's make sure that we are doing that, that we're reading the scriptures, that we're getting to know them. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, perhaps just simplifying that a little bit for us is that we should devote ourselves in this lockdown season to engaging with the Bible, reading it, getting to know it. It's really easy, isn't it, just to, when, you know, to just let things slip sometimes when we're not around physically with other Christians, and or we're not, you know, getting into things. That's why it's important to sort of talk to other Christians and be around them. But you know, it sort of spurs us on. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says, doesn't it? But I guess my encouragement today, the simplest part of this message, if you like, is how are we going to live our life in lockdown season? One of the ways that the early church shows us we can maintain momentum and we can keep engaged with the power and the transformational power of Christ to transform our world and to be those who thrive and not survive is to make sure that we remain devoted to engaging with the Bible and reading it and letting it transform us. Last screen share, okay? I'd just like to just share this little thought for you. How do we read the scriptures? We engage with them at four levels, I guess, really. Firstly, is that we read them. Just get to know them. You know, I have a Bible app. I think it's the YouBible app. It just helps me to get through the whole Bible in a year. I mean, you can do it at different paces. You can just get through the New Testament. You know, it's a Bible reading program. And for me in that, all I'm trying to achieve is just to read it, to just get the information of it in there. You know, in my first year of my Christian life, I committed to read no other Christian books other than the Bible, and I just wanted to get my way through it. I wanted to have read the whole Bible. Don't start at Genesis and try to work your way through. Get a program like the YouBible app, or you can contact me and I'll help you to get a program. But the rhythm of life every day, just be reading it. And then to study it. The difference between reading and studying is time. It's to give yourself a couple of hours a week where you dig in a bit deeper to a particular subject, or a bit more than that if you can. Personally, I try and give like a little bit every morning, you know, half an hour to an hour every morning to study, really, and to dig into that, to engage with the subject a little bit deeper. And then it's to discuss them. You know, nobody has a monopoly on truth, and we learn the scriptures best when we learn them in community, when we talk with others, we engage with others, and we dialogue together on the scriptures. And then is to live them. It's no good just to get the knowledge in our heads if we don't live it in our lives. We're told in the New Testament that now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And we only really find that we experience the blessing of God as we outwork the knowledge of God. You know, as we get to know the scriptures, we then got to start to outwork them and live them. Now, we will be the best version of ourselves in this lockdown season if we do live the scriptures. I assure you that if you live the scriptures, you'll be the best version of yourself. You engage with the lifestyle of Jesus and what he was like and how he lived. So, lockdown season. Church is still happening. It's not waiting to reopen. It's not waiting till we can gather together. It's just change shape. And so if it's still living, the church is still happening, how do we make it thrive and not just survive? First is to be a devoted people. The people who don't wait for somebody else to do it for us. People who say, you know, oh, well, you know, when circumstances change, it'll get better. But we are those who say, you know what, we're going to make it happen. We are devoted to this. We're going to give ourselves fully to making this happen. And the first step of devotion that is going to release a transformational life that we see in the life of the early church is to be those who are devoted to engaging with the scriptures in a Jesus-centered way. Engaging with the scriptures in the way that Jesus would have us engage with the scriptures. And the best way we can get to do that is to make sure that we're reading it, we're studying it, we're talking with others about it, and that we live it. Lord bless you. Let's remember, thrive, not survive, as a body, as a church community in this season. You might personally be going through a few moments where you find it's a little bit tough. You know, I shared some thoughts on that in my own life the other week. And, you know, it's okay to not be okay if you're having a difficult patch. But let's make sure the bigger picture, the bigger journey that we're on is one that says we are going to devote ourselves to the work of the kingdom and thrive, not survive. I know about you, I want to see people discover Jesus during this season. And I want to see people grow into the greatest maturity they can in Christ. Sometimes it's in the toughest moments that we discover the greatest things about God and about our faith. Lord bless you. Let's just pray, shall we? And then we'll close. Holy Spirit, come and speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the scriptures to transform us, to help us to know how to live, how not to live, what things we need to understand about you, who you are, and how to understand your salvation so that we can discover this life, this kingdom life that you offer us. Jesus, I pray for each person who's listening here today to discover more of the scriptures this week. Amen. God bless. Lovely to be with you again.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for your encouraging words. So now we're going to share communion together. So if you need to get your juice, wine, bread, please do that. And we're going to share communion really as a reminder for all that Jesus has done for us. The fact that, as I said at the start, that he has set us free. His life and death means that we can live in freedom, and that freedom looks a little bit different at the moment, but we still have freedom in who Jesus was, and the fact that he died for us to be free. So I'm just going to read from Matthew 26. So Matthew 26, 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And as you do take the bread and the wine, remember those words. Okay. So hopefully you can still hear me, as my live stream seems to have gone, but hopefully you can still hear me. Now we're going to just spend a few moments in prayer. So do take some space, take some time, and let's just lift up some things in prayer together. So Lord, we just commit this time to you, Lord. We just pray for people's health, whether it's the coronavirus or other things. And I just would encourage you to take a few moments to pray for those that you love and know who are struggling at the moment, whatever it may be. Lord, we just pray for a real peace, Lord. We pray for a quick healing for those that we know that are struggling at the moment, whether it's with the virus or with mental health or with other illnesses, Lord, be their peace at this time. Lord, we lift up the healthcare workers and the key workers, Lord. Keep them safe. Thank you for all that they are doing at this time, keeping people safe, keeping the country going, and we just lift them up to you, Lord. We pray for our government locally, and nationally. Give them wisdom in their decision making. Give them guidance, Lord. And we pray for the leadership of this town as they make difficult decisions and they work out where finances go, Lord. Thank you that as a church we can stand by our town and the leadership of our town and help them support the most vulnerable and where they need to support people who are finding things really difficult. Help us as a church support them, Lord. And Lord, we think about those in other countries that we partner as we think about how in this country, although the situation is very difficult, a lot of people have it a lot worse. They don't have the support that we do have and that we're blessed to have in this country. So we just pray for them, Lord. Bring provision. We pray for miraculous provision over those that we support and those that are struggling at this time. And help all of us find ways to connect with that, to really know what's going on, and in our own way to help those that are struggling at this time. And Lord, a big prayer that we do pray for this virus to stop in this town, in the UK and the world. And we pray that things will move quickly, a vaccine will be found quickly, and people will recover quickly. And as the country goes back to whatever our new normal be, Lord, let you be the centre. May this whole situation may you be the centre of this whole situation, Lord. Amen. So we're now going to have some worship by a couple of members of our worship team. So I'm actually going to hand over to myself in this, which feels a bit strange. But to take some time in worship, it's really good to know that we're all worshiping together in our homes. The words will come up on the video, so do take this time to worship, and we hope it is encouraging for you.
Touching every heart, I worship you, I worship you. You are healing every heart, I worship you, I worship you. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle. Work, promise keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are way make miracle work, promise keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are, that is who you are. stop, we never stop. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. We never stop, we never stop working. You never stop working. Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Rainmaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Cause you are rainmaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Good stuff. I hope you found that encouraging. So, as we end today, please do leave any prayer requests in the comments box, and we will make sure that they are prayed through in our Monday at 9 o'clock prayer meeting and our Thursday at 1 o'clock prayer meeting. So do put any comments in the Facebook Live comment feed, or post them on Facebook after, or message them to us as well. So be blessed this week. Have a great week. Remember, we've got a coffee hangout happening just in a couple of minutes. I'll share you the graphic now. And Andy and Stina are going to host it for us. So have a brilliant week. Be blessed. And we'll see you very soon.